Tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I just want to preach just a few moments and just look at God's word for just a few moments concerning communion. You know, sometimes we come and we go through rituals, and young people, you need to grasp this. Just because mom and dad have done it all their life and we've done it in the church, you need to understand why. Amen. It's not just a form and a fashion that we go through. It's because it represents something. It tells us something. Baptism tells us that the old man has died. Amen. It tells us that we've asked Jesus on the inside, and he's made a new man. We've become a new creature in Christ, and the old man has died. Amen. We're buried with him in the likeness of his death, but we've been raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. That's what baptism is all about. It don't save anybody. It don't cleanse anybody. It don't change anybody. It just tells something about what happened to somebody. Amen. And we're thankful for that. And communion tonight, it's not about going to a formal a thing that we do where we eat the bread and we drink the wine and just get real solemn for a few minutes. It's about remembering the sacrifice that was given unto us and why Jesus did it and how he did it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, I'm just going to read a few short verses. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Praise God. It's got a purpose. Amen. And we want to just look at that purpose for a short while tonight. Brother Adam Haynes, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? Why do we have communion? Why do we celebrate communion? Well, what does the word communion mean to begin with? You know, many people have different ideas. How many knows what a commune is? Amen. Anybody that grew up back in my time knew about all the hippies in the communes. Amen. Some of us had relatives that probably run off and lived in the communes. Amen. Some of us, I wish that some of our relatives were still in the commune somewhere. Amen. It was a place that's where we get the word communism from. Communism supposedly means that all are partakers and all have a part, or it's equal in what it does. And we take communion because it's a time when we gather together as one body in unity with Christ. Amen. He instituted the communion when he gathered his disciples around him. He gathered them in the upper room. In Luke, he said in chapter 22, verses 13 to 15, he said that he wanted to be with them. He wanted them to have all things in common as they took and as they ate the Passover together. And when they went and found, as he had said unto them, they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It was a thing in a time of coming together with a unified heart. It was a time when he tried to get his disciples together to have a unified vision. You know, we take a communion, we come together, our hearts and minds need to be in one accord. If they're not in one mind and one accord, and you got a problem with somebody, you need not take communion. Amen. If you got an issue with somebody, you need to be on the altar. Amen. You need to be taking care of business the way that business needs to be taken care of. Amen. It's all about unity. It's a unified heart, a unified body. We can't have a unified body if our hearts aren't unified with Christ. Amen. We need to get things right. It's about having a unified vision. Amen. What's that vision of what Christ wants us to do? Where Christ wants us to go. What our purpose is here. Well, we're not here for entertainment. We're not here to be a babysitting service. We're not here for anything else but to tell people about Jesus Christ, him lifted up and crucified, dead, risen, and coming again. The Savior of the world. That's our our vision. That's our purpose. That's our goal. Amen. We need to be unified in that. That's what communion is. We come together to take communion. If we got differences of opinion on what our purpose and what our goal is here, we're not in unity. Amen. Our agenda needs to be the Word of God. It needs to be His Word, His desire. We need to be of a unified mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to get our minds right. We need to get our hearts right. We need to get our goals right. We need to get our desires right. And if we get that right, then we're ready for communion. Amen. We're unified. Jesus said, I have a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus knew what was coming, but he had a desire for unity, even though there wasn't. Even though he drew his disciples together, he knew there was a problem in their midst. Amen. But his desire and his goal was for unity. We teach in Sunday school. You know what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation is restoration. Amen. That we might be unified. Amen. That's our purpose. That should be our goal. That should be our goal to the sinner, is to have him unified, have him restored to a right relationship with God. That's our desire for the backslid. It isn't to talk about them and slander them and run them down and complain about all the things they're doing. Our goal should be to pray for them that they might be restored and reunified in a right relationship with the Savior. Amen. We need to make sure we got our agenda right and our minds right, our hearts right. Everything about what we do as we come to the communion service needs to be about unity in Jesus Christ. You know, me and my wife have been joined together, but you know what holds us together is Jesus. Amen. Because, you're in love. No, it's Jesus. Amen. Because I tell you, sometimes she just don't like me at all. I know. Amen. Because sometimes I don't even like me. Amen. Let's be honest with yourself. Amen. None of us here are perfect. But praise God, Christ can hold us together. Amen. We come together as a church. Amen. We're not always here in unity, but when we take communion, we need to be. Amen. And you know what holds us together? The same thing that holds my wife and I together. It's Christ Jesus. We're unified in him. Amen. So let's get our hearts and our minds set all right in remembering that communion is about being unified as we go forth into the service of remembering. Paul, he told the Corinthian church, he said, you know, y'all come together to eat the Lord's Supper, and there's some things that aren't right. There wasn't the kind of unity that they needed to have in the church. Amen. We need to make sure that we have that right. He said, because the Lord delivered to me how that we ought to be. Amen. We ought to be able to come together in one mind and one accord and break the bread and drink the cup. Amen. And our hearts and our minds be focused on Jesus Christ and the suffering Savior that died for us on an old rugged cross. Amen. Instead of worrying about so-and-so said something to me, so-and-so did something to me. I've got this and they don't. I'm going to get this and they don't. I was talking here. And ladies, don't take us the wrong way. I was talking just before church about some ladies was wondering about the secret pal thing. I'm going to tell you this. If y'all want to do the secret pal, do the secret pal. The only thing I'm going to tell you to do is keep the gifts out of it. If y'all want to do it, make it. I told them, y'all can do secret pal again as long as me and my wife don't have nothing to do with it and don't have to hear about it. Amen. If y'all want to do it, it's fine. You want to pray for one another? You want to send a card to one another? That's fine. Leave it at that. But I got so tired of listening to phone calls every week. Well, my secret pal hasn't got me something, and I've been buying things for my secret pal. And it's just little things like that to get in a church and destroy it. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church. They had some people were coming and they took their Lord's Supper. They did it a little bit different than what we do it today. And they didn't do it unified. They done it and one bunch would get there before the other bunch and they were done eating drunk and some of them would get drunk and lay up in the corner and another bunch would come. There wouldn't be nothing there for them. It just wasn't equal and it wasn't no unity in it. And Paul said, this isn't good. Amen. I don't want anything. I told my wife, I said, man, if I never hear about secret power again in my life, it will be too soon for me. I ain't kidding you. Amen? I'm not kidding you one bit. If y'all want to, you know, make a pact and pray for one another and send a card to one another, that's fine. But if it goes beyond that, I don't want no parts of it in this church. Amen? Because I don't want the devil to use any little thing to slip in that's going to take away the unity. And people sitting around with the wrong spirit, well, I bought so-and-so something and my secret power ain't got me nothing. And our mind's not on Christ. It's on some stupid little trinket. Amen. Fellas, we sit around sometimes and worry about what everybody else does. Well, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And hey, we throw the I've been doing pity party on ourselves. Amen. And we think that nobody else is doing anything. But just because what they're doing is not seen, just because what they're doing is not known, doesn't mean they're not doing anything. Amen. They're still busy. They're still a-doing. Amen. Let's not let the devil get in little things and divide the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's purpose and desire in our hearts and our lives to uplift and to glorify Him. He says because we need to get beyond the things. We need to be in one mind and one accord. That when we go back and we take the history lesson, first you got unity, then you got history. He said, just remember. Remember me. Remember me. Jesus said, when you do this, remember me. Amen. Why did he have to tell us that we need a memorial? We need a service of remembrance because we are so easy to forget what Christ has done for us and to go on about our lives and not to be thankful for the salvation that we have because of the suffering Savior that died for our sins and gave us the hope of eternal salvation. We're ungrateful and unthankful. We're undeserving. Paul says down here in verse 27, verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. I know I'm not worthy. I was never worthy of my Savior's death, but by grace he died for me. I was never worthy of my Lord and my Savior's salvation, but by grace, he saved me. Amen. I'm not worthy to partake of the table, but by his grace and through his blood, I've been made able. Amen. I've been made a worthy partaker, not because of who I am, but because of what he's done in my life. And I need to be reminded. I need to come to the place of remembrance where when I partake of the bread, I remember that broken body. When I partake of the cup, I'm mindful of the precious blood that was shed. Jesus said in Luke there 22 again, he says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And he did the same thing with the cup, just like Paul said that he delivered unto him. This do in remembrance. We go back to all the gospels and Jesus is telling them there's a purpose in this. It's remembering what I'm about to do. It's a remembrance that God has always had a place in his heart for mankind. You know, when Jesus and his disciples sat down and they broke that Passover meal together, they partook of it together, they was remembering the Passover in Egypt some 1600 years prior to this time. They were remembering the time when God brought his people out of bondage, when God brought deliverance. They were reminded that God always prepares a way. When the disciples disciples. I partook of the communion meal after Jesus' death. They were being reminded of what Jesus had told them that night, how he was going to go and die on an old rugged cross for the sins of fallen man and give himself a ransom for all who would believe. When the church comes together and we're unified, we're in one mind and we're in one accord, and we can honor him with our actions as we partake of the communion supper, it reminds us that God has always made a way. We can look back to the cross, or we can look back to Egypt, we can look back to the garden, and praise God, he's always made a way for the sinner, amen, to find covering for his sin. But we partake of the communion supper, the communion table, however you prefer to address it, because we have an expectancy about us. In verse number 26, in our text, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Jesus said over in Luke 22, he says, "For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take, eat this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." In Matthew 26, he says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Praise God. I'm glad tonight, as we take communion, it not only reminds me of what God has done in the past and what God done for me at an old-fashioned altar when he saved my old wretched soul, but it reminds me that he done it all for a purpose, and he's coming back, and one day I'll drink the cup, and one day I'll break the bread with him in the Father's kingdom, amen, and praise God, I'll have a communion dinner like I've never had before. Amen. Let's not forget, he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Communion is about remembering. Communion is about unity. Communion is about being one with Christ and striving to stay close to Christ. Amen. Paul says on down here in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Praise God. Praise God. We have a time. Praise God, he's gracious. And it just doesn't smack us down when we sin. Praise God, he gives us opportunity to look at ourselves. He gives us opportunity to measure ourselves against this. Not what you think, feel, or believe, but to examine your life against what thus saith the Word of God. Does your life line up with what God's Word says? Does your life line up with where God wants you to be? Does God's Word line up? Does your life line up with where God's Word is directing you? We're going to take communion here in a moment. But he said, let a man examine himself. Let every individual take this moment before we partake of the Lord's table to examine our hearts. We can stand to our feet.